Welcome back to the program. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the lead baseball writer for USAtoday.com. You can follow him on Twitter at B Nightingale. Bob, how are you?
Yeah, doing great, thanks.
Good. I know that you're going to be pressed for time here, so we're going to make this as quick as possible. The Los Angeles Dodgers, they lose Clayton Kershaw for 6 to 8 weeks with a lower back strain. Do you see them making a move for a starting pitcher, or do you think they just hold tight?
Well, I think they need to make a move for a starting pitcher if they can, and nothing to do with Kershaw. I mean, they got the division wrapped up, but just for October. A year ago we saw what the Cubs did. They need to get a closer for October in Aroldis Chapman. And they're going to make the playoffs with or without him, but they were going to win the World Series without him. Same thing with the Dodgers. You just wonder, after Kershaw and Wood, who's the number three starter? But if they can't get Yu Darvish and Sonny Gray, they may have to just bolster that bullpen and do like Cleveland did a year ago.
So you think what's Washington going to do now that Strasburg is down? You think they're going to make a similar move to or do something kind of like similar to what the Dodgers may do?
No, I think they're deeper than the Dodgers as far as guys you can count on, particularly having Gio Gonzalez there and of course Max Scherzer, Tanner Roark. It just seems like those guys are more battle tested in postseason more than Scherzer.
Chicago Cubs
more than the Dodgers are.
Sure, Chicago Cubs are 8-1 since the All-Star break. Do you think they've righted the ship, and are they going to go just basically skyrocket on their way to the playoffs this year?
I think so. And they won't be a favorite to win the World Series like a year ago. They haven't had that kind of year. But I think that Quintana trade just turned everything for them, gave them a big boost, a wake up call in that clubhouse, and their pitching has taken off ever since. They got like a 2.70 ERA ever since. They got Quintana to break.
Do you see them making another move before the trade deadline, the Chicago Cubs?
I think we have Minor, get a backup catcher, probably Alec Avila, maybe Johnson Lucroy. I think Avila makes a lot of sense for them as a backup. And that's about it. I mean, they don't have enough to get a Sonny Gray. They're not in on that. And I think they're kind of tinkering around, with what it would take to get a Verlander. But you'd have to take that money plus the prospect. I don't see that happening either.
And we keep hearing conflicting reports about what's coming out of Miami, that they're going to hold on to their core players or they're going to trade their core players. Now today we're hearing that they're going to hold on to them. And then there's also another report saying that Giancarlo Stanton has no interest in coming to St. Louis. What are you hearing?
Well, they're not going to move anybody right now. They're going to let the new owner do that. And I don't think MLB will allow them to move the outfielders, particularly Yelich Azuna. Now, on Stanton's part, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they'll put him on waivers, and if somebody claims them, they may say he's yours. I don't think, if you take on $295 million, you don't have to give any players. He does have a full no trade, so I think he'd be willing to go anywhere. I wouldn't rule out St. Louis. Certainly his preference is to go to L.A., where he's from, but he certainly wants to play in the winter.
Last week on USAtoday.com, you were basically doing like a trade prediction column, and you think that the Cardinals are going to trade Tyler Lyons to the Baltimore Orioles for relief pitcher Brad Brock. Do you still think that's going to happen?
I don't know. I just think that right now they may just stay pat. I mean, they'll trade Lance Lynn. I think Lynn's gone for sure. And I think they may just kind of blow that whole thing up in the offseason and start over. You don't trade those guys for prospects, but just baseball trades. You're trading away guys from 25-man roster for other teams, 20 guys in 25-man roster, just to see what shakes out.
So right now you think the Cardinals, what they're going to do is probably just maybe move Lance Lynn for prospects and then just kind of like play out the rest of the season, the chips fall where they may, and then when the season's over, then start redeveloping their team?
Yeah, decide what they want to do. But make it like more baseball trades, not just not prospects, but just, hey, I'll take your two outfielders. You give us your two outfielders. That sort of thing. I just think they want to change up a lot of things. I think it'd be a fascinating offseason for the Cardinals.
Bob Nightingale from USAtoday.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at B Nightingale. Bob, did you read what Dan Shaughnessy wrote in the Boston Globe?
I did. David Price is a wonderful guy. All a semi-humane time. I think when that came out, all David was doing was standing up for his teammates. His teammates felt the same way. And David's the leader on that team. And I think he spoke out for everybody. So all the, you know, all the arrows and bullets are going his way, man, they should go to, you know, everybody. So, hey, that happens. And, you know, and you see in other teams as well where the broadcasters are paid by the team. And if you're not fully supportive of them, it can rub guys the wrong way. I've seen that a lot of places, a lot more times, so I just kept quiet.
But do you get the, like, all the years that you've been covering baseball, do you ever get the feeling that the players are kind of like, you know, well, what does Bob know? He's never played the game. He's, you know, he's never stepped one foot on a Major League Baseball diamond. Do you ever get that feeling from some of the players?
Oh, sure. You know, which is understandable. And, you know, get that from, you know, the broadcast booth and everything else. But I got that happened. And I think the broadcasters are a more difficult spot because they are getting paid by the club. And so they want their, you know, 100% support. Where obviously, you know, if you're independent, you know, you don't face that same type of scrutiny.
Bob, I know you got to run, so we appreciate you making time for us this evening, sir, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. That is Bob Nightingale, lead baseball writer for USAtoday.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BNightingale. Kind of funny how he thinks that the Cardinals are just going to trade Lance Lynn and then keep the team as is and then make all their moves in the offseason. That is not going to make the BFIB happy.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, would just selling off make any BFIBs happy?
Well, I mean, I think if they got prospects back, like let's say the Cardinals were doing what the White Sox are doing, and you're getting all of these top prospects, I think the BFIB would be okay with that. I think they'd be excited about the future.
Well, you don't have the White Sox. You didn't have the White Sox starters. I mean, those weren't. You didn't have those level of players. You don't have. I don't think Lance Lynn is at Quintana's level in any way, shape, or form. Well, I mean, he's close there. I mean, he's a workhorse, but I don't think he's not a lefty the way Quintana is.
And, well, and he's and also got. He also has a contract that's expiring at the end of the season.
True,
too.
That too.
So you're not going to get as much value for that.
Yeah, because Quintana's a two year buy pretty much for the Cubs, I think.
But let me ask you too this: if the Cardinals were to do something like that, where they're kind of like, you know what? We're going to trade the assets that we think that we have there that can bring us the most value, and we're going to bring in a bunch of young prospects, and then we're going maybe like even next year, maybe we're not going to be that good. But in 2019, we may be really onto something and good for years after that. Do you think, would you guys be okay with that? And do you think, you know, Cardinal Nation would be okay with that? Because it could be, you know, maybe 4 years without making the playoffs. Last year, this year, and then maybe next.
I don't think the fans will be okay with that.
I don't think they would be either, but I mean,
I understand. I understand, sometimes you need to clear house and start over.
I'll be honest with you. I think I would be okay with it, but I think the majority of BFIB would not be okay with it at all.
I think you're right on that one.
And to me, nothing makes me laugh harder than whenever there's a Cardinal game on a national broadcast, because nothing unites the BFIB like national announcers. Because they hate the game when it's called by national announcers. Can't stand it. And I find it funny because everything that they were saying last night on ESPN, you've been saying about the team all year. And then when someone else says it, then you get upset about it, and I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Yes, they're going to be talking about the Cubs. They're in Chicago. They're the world champion, and they broke a like 100-plus year curse.
Yeah.
This Cardinals team is not very good. I don't understand why. What is there to talk about with this Cardinals team? How they've blown 20, you know, leads going into the eighth and ninth inning? Is that what you want? Is that what you want the announcers to talk about? How they don't run the bases very well? How they don't feel very well? I mean, like,
I
what is there
talk
really
about
to talk about?
Carlos Martinez walking around with blue hair is obviously just causing problems.
I had someone come up to me today. It was so funny. Get to work, and I barely turned on my computer to get the day going. And he's standing in front of my desk. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, what's with Carlos Martinez and that blue hair? And I'm like, I go, who gives a bleep?
Yeah.
And I mean, he was kind of like, almost like, you know, taken aback by my reaction. I'm like, I don't care.
Who cares?
Hair
don't make you a player.
It doesn't. And yeah. You know what? You see the way that he's acting in the dugout? At least someone on that damn team is having fun. That's why I like Carlos Martinez. It has to drive Mike Matheny crazy. Because
sure.
Mike Matheny, I think his idea of fun is putting, you know, nickels and penny loafers. So I'm glad someone on that team is having a good time.
Well, yeah. what else are you going
to
do?
Exactly. What else are you going to do? And if you're not pitching that day, I mean, he's paying attention to the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's, you know, flirting with girls in the stands or something like
having
that.
A beer.
Yeah.
Sitting there eating a hot dog or something.
Now, wouldn't that be hysterical if he was sitting there and he was having a Budweiser and a foot long?
And a dip.
Yeah. And a dip, and he's writing his phone number on a baseball and he's throwing it to a girl. Yeah. You know, after the game's over, come find me at this room. Now, that would be hysterical.
That would be kind of funny.
But, when you guys are watching a game that's nationally televised, like the one last night, do you guys get the impression that the announcers are against St. Louis or they have a other team bias?
I don't know. I think it's part of it. You know what I mean?
It's amazing how, there's a national, it's not just ESPN.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but there's so many people who feel that way.
It's the Joe Buck syndrome.
I think it's, you're just too emotional.
Yeah, Joe Buck comes out and says that if he broke down his Twitter replies, he hates every single team in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, I've heard Joe Buck say that, too.
And so, essentially, that's what it breaks down to. Everybody at one point thinks that their team's being slighted by the national guys for some reason or another, especially if you happen to have maybe a little bit of a Napoleonic complex about where you live.
Well, and I think a lot of it is, too, especially with the Cardinals in St. Louis. So I think so many people, their self-identity is tied to the baseball team. Because
there's so many people whose self-identity is tied to what part of this country they were born in, and it's the most
weirdest thing
in the world. Well, why is Missouri being better than other states so important to people? That's the thing that blows my freaking mind.
Well, I know. Yeah, what I find funny is
places
like people who are from Branson and live in Branson, and then they come up here, they're like, "Yeah, I'm just not used to the big city." I'm like, "What big city? This is not a big city."
Took me 10 minutes to roll through it.
Yeah, I'm like,
going
80. If you,
someone wants to ask me
if you want a big city, go to Chicago.
Someone
or New York.
Asked me after growing up in the city of St. Louis, I was like, all about living in big cities. I was like, in fact, after growing up in St. Louis, I'm pretty sure I can't live in a city bigger than St. Louis. So the answer to that is, oh, God, no.
But I mean, like, if you think about it, there are a lot of people in St. Louis where they're like, basically, a lot of their self worth is tied to the Cardinal team. And I think it's because, you know, we don't live in a major metropolitan area. We don't have the mountains. We don't have the beach. We don't have great weather.
What else are we going to brag about? Well,
exactly. What else are we going to brag about other than the success of
and
the baseball
fire
team?
Fire and Ice.
Fire and Ice.
Hello.
Yeah. I mean, right now, everybody's going to be bragging about Fire and Ice.
That's right.
And then the second thing is going to be the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's where a lot of the sensitivity comes from.
Yep.
I think it's kind of like the same thing in Boston, too, which doesn't make any sense because Boston, you're on the coast. You're not that far away from Martha's Vineyard.
True.
You know, somebody like, what was it on Deadspin said that Boston is the, or St. Louis is the most thin-skinned city on the face of the earth, non-Boston division. They're like, Boston's worse as far as being thin-skinned goes, and St. Louis is second.
What's wrong with being passionate about something?
There's nothing wrong with being passionate, but I think they're saying, like, being thin-skinned. You don't think Cardinal fans are a little thin-skinned?
Well, I don't know.
When it comes to those East Coast
they
elitists, they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think they are. Yeah. I don't know if it's thin-skinned or having a competitive mind. Like, for me, I'm just competitive. So whenever I
lose, you're very competitive.
Saying?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's the right way to – I don't know. Yeah.
Well, okay, like my friends who live in New York, and one of them is from here. Mm-hmm. And the other guy, he's from Philadelphia, but he lives in New York. And he's like, you know what? I've got nothing against your team. He's like, but your fans drive me up a wall. And
don't worry,
like,
they drive me up a wall too.
And I told him, I go, look, I go, I cannot defend Cardinal Nation.
It's so crazy because I thought we had the best fans in baseball.
That's the
How
problem.
Did we get
God,
that?
I don't know because
if
some,
we have the worst
because
fans,
because
so
I think it's kind of self-proclaimed.
For some reason,
self-proclaimed.
People decided to perpetuate. It is self-proclaimed. It's and it's perpetuated by Cardinal fans. As much as I love my parents, I remember my mom and dad used to when I was a little kid would say that the St. Louis has the best fans in baseball. When I was a little kid, I ate that up, and now I grew up and realized. This is the dumbest thing in the world.
Well, and here's—I mean, not only it's partially self-proclaimed, but a lot of it is that the announcers kind of giving Cardinals fans that too.
Yeah.
Who was maybe was it George Will? Maybe was the first one to call it. Was that what you were going to say, Giamatti?
I was going
to
ask who actually quoted the Cardinals being the best.
I think
how
it might have
actually start.
I think it might have been George Will.
A bunch of different Cardinals throughout time have talked about the fans being really good. It's not new. I mean, but again,
I do watch the games, and I see like the stadiums aren't as full as our games are, though. A lot of times,
Sure. Yeah.
It's not even about. It's not even about that. It's that like BFIT became this thing where it's like, you know, clapping at the right times and little things like that. Like we watch the game the right way.
We watch baseball a different level than
we have scorecards on our laps, not phones.
Well, not me. I said,
darn millennials.
Like, oh, they gave another run. Off. That's me. I ain't got time for this.
Okay, well, that's probably, partially for me, is I can't argue that because I'm very aware of the fact that I'm not a good baseball fan.
I mean, what was that line in White Men Can't Jump? Like, you can listen to Jimmy, but you can't hear Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you may watch baseball, but you don't understand baseball.
Yes.
There's someone else who had a line in Fish Called Wanda saying something about, like, well, I read Nietzsche. Yes, honey, you read Nietzsche, but you don't understand Nietzsche.
Yeah. I get you.
So I think it's a lot of it is like that too.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I can see that.
Thing is, I think so many people just tie their self worth at how good the baseball team is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk like around town, everybody's talking about like how like what do the Cardinals need to do? What do the Cardinals need to do?
Yeah.
I get stopped all the time when I'm at work. What do you think the Cardinals need to do? I'm like 2-6-8. I'm like, I'm not going to give it away for free.
That's a perfect example of people trying to live through other things.
That
you know
too.
What I mean? The success of, you know, they're like, oh, I was never a successful athlete or haven't done anything really great in my life, but guess what? I cheer for the right baseball team, so this is the only thing I get to brag about.
Sure, but I mean, like, that's also kind of like a human nature thing to do too.
Yeah, sure.
Like, if you're watching a reality show, you're watching the reality show because you're deep down, you're kind of wishing that you had that lavish lifestyle of a real housewife.
It depends.
Yeah, but I mean, like a lot of people, they wish that they had that kind of money, like the Kardashians do.
You're either watching for that or Schadenfreude. It's one of the two. No one's watching for anything other than I wish that was me or haha, look at those idiots.
Well, I think there's a lot of that
too. It's literally A or B. There's no C in that equation.
That's me.
Yeah, Lindsay's like that. Thank God that's not me.
Give me. Why do you think I watch The Bachelor?
Is that, I mean,
because you secretly want to be on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Like, I know
She's
so
like, let me write down that number.
I know so many girls that will, like, have bachelor watching parties. Oh. Like, at somebody's house. Like, I'll see the Snapchat story.
No.
We're all over at blah, blah, blah's house drinking wine and watching The Bachelor.
Because that stuff is cringeworthy to watch.
I'm like,
and it's
why?
Beautiful.
Why
in
are
that
you
way?
Watching it?
Well, who signs up to do that? Like, I would not sign up to compete with, like, 20 other women for a man. I don't have time for that.
Well, I knew this girl that was going to do it.
Oh, no. Like, no, thank you.
Like, she submitted the photos and the resume, and they wanted her to put together, like, a reel, and then she was going. So thank God one of her friends actually talked her out of it. Like, this is a bad idea.
Could you see me in a room full of all those people, like all those women? Like,
you'd be fist fighting him.
A good friend of mine at Mizzou.
Yeah, you'd be fist fighting him.
A good friend of mine at Mizzou who was older than me. He was a junior when I was a freshman. His girlfriend, senior year, got chosen to be on The Real World. And she went.
Wow.
And it was the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Oh, my God.
And he told her she was going, and he was like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, I'm not going to break up with you right now, but
maybe later.
There's a good, yeah, that it was.
Well, the funny thing about The Real World is that when it first came out, it was actually kind of cool because, you know, you had different people from different walks of life
I don't think, learning to try to coexist
in the house.
I don't think that it's when The Real World first came out. I think it's that for you, when The Real World first came out, you were what, 18?
I think I might have been younger 15? Than that, maybe 16.
Exactly, okay. Even though it's the new stuff and apparently it's worse than the original Real World, when I was 13, I enjoyed The Real World. So I just think it's the fact that when you're 13 and 14, for some reason, watching a bunch of 24-year-olds, because that's
what
age
you
want to
do.
Well, yeah, when
you
you're 14 and 15,
that.
24 seems like the greatest age possible. You're still young, but you're old enough to drink. You went through college, all that stuff. So I think it's really just that The Real World really plays itself to like young teenagers.
It's a
sure.
feeling.
Me and you watched The Real World at the same age. It's not that it wasn't The Real World wasn't good when it was season 1 and good and bad when it was season 13. It's just that only 14-year-olds are going to watch The Real World on a consistent basis.
That could be part of it. I think what a lot of it is too is, like I said, back then when it first came out, we weren't as connected as what we are now.
Yeah,
no,
true.
Yeah.
And so
not.
I mean,
still doing that show though.
What's that?
They're still doing that show.
They are still doing it, but like, now all it is just finding a bunch of train wrecks, giving a bunch of alcohol, and see who's going to hook up and give each other herpes.
Again, that was totally the premise in 95. They just overcoded it with some, like, we're MTV and it's new.
But no, like,
but the entire premise
was,
let's get people drunk.
No, not necessarily what it was back in 95. 95, it was more like, okay, here's the white guy from Alabama who's straight. We're going to put him in the same room as this gay, you know, Latino from San Francisco. and see how actually, they react to each other because they
come to think of it, you saying that reminds me of How I Met Your Mother. There's a line in there where somebody's yelling at someone, just goes, "You're not even like the early seasons of The Real World anymore, where they had jobs and they were real human beings.
That's true.
You're like season 7 and beyond, where they, like Maui, where they just get drunk all the time and they're not even real people. And
no.
I guess, yeah, he's kind of right there. Like the whole thing in like season 1, like they had like jobs, they had to go off and be like real people, and now it's just literally every episode is they got drunk and these people yelled.
Yeah, it's just Jersey Shore.
Yay.
Yeah. I remember like when Jersey Shore first came out, like everybody was talking about Jersey Shore.
I hated
that. So I sat down and watched one episode. I'm like, what am I watching and why am I watching this? Like, you can't understand half the things that they're saying.
Oh, I watched
it. And all they're doing is just going to the bar and getting
myself drunk
and hooking up. I'm like, who cares?
That show was funny as hell for
maybe it's
a year.
One of those things you got to watch twice to really get it. Kind of like Napoleon Dynamite.
It's not that you have to watch it twice.
It's like the first time you watch it, like, what is this? And then you watch it again, you're like,
it's
oh,
not
it's
that
fun.
You have to watch it twice. It's that you have to inebriate yourself before you watch it the first time.
Gotcha.
That's and I think a lot of it is like,
and much
look at
like
these morons.
Napoleon Dynamite. You have to inebriate yourself prior to watching the first time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is kind of like, you know, sure, you know, I have a low paying job and my car's in the shop, but I'm not Snooki.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
So I think there was a lot of that too. It was right around a year ago that I was having a real tough time finding the right car at the right price. I did a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, and doghouse in a 15-mile radius. Thankfully, my long and arduous search led me to Ryan Kimner and his great sales staff at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Everything from the quality to the price to the service exceeded my expectations, and I know that they can do the same for you. Bellman Automotive not only has a wide inventory of new and used vehicles, but also has a top-notch service department and financing for everyone. You really can't go wrong at Bellman Automotive, 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com. We'll take a commercial break. Final segment of the night coming up next. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.